So, Ryan, as we were talking before the show here, before we get started, we just kind of threw it out there. Why don't we talk about some of the most shocking, our favorite shocking moments in gaming history? Because I think that a lot of times you get to those shocker moments where you're just like, holy cow, did that just happen? And actually, as we were mentioning it, as I was mentioning it, I hurried up and looked up online. Because in movies in particular, I think one of the more shocking moments that you even knew it was happening, but it was kind of like, holy cow, that just happened, was from the movie Seven with this.
I saw you with a box. Who's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
But in the movie Seven, it's like you knew something was going to happen. You just didn't realize that you were going to get a head in the box, which was a pretty fantastic thing, and I think that'll always stick with me.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, video games and stuff like that, what is your favorite shocking moment from video games, whether it's recent or whether it's in the past, retro style?
Well, mine comes not necessarily from a moment, but from, like, a gameplay change. It was in Metal Gear Solid 2, where you play the first opening chapter, the famous tank chapter, as Solid Snake, the protagonist from the first game, the guy that we all know and love, and we're all pumped to get the sequel and play the entire game as him, and you get to the plant chapter, the big shell, the guy takes his mask off, he's been calling him Snake on the radio the entire time, and it's this blonde dude named Raiden. And it was just like, what the hell is this? Who the hell is this guy? And it's just such a, and some people, it doesn't bother me as much as it does some fans, but that is the primary reason I like that's my least favorite Metal Gear Solid game. It was just like such a, like a, what the hell moment. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't just a moment, it was gameplay-wise. You were stuck with this guy for the remainder of the game. Now, over the years, he has grown on me, but that will always be the big aha moment, the gotcha moment by Kojima. And he's had plenty of them, but that's the big one.
Yeah, very Hideo Kojima, if you actually think about it.
Yeah, now in retrospect, we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he really liked to mix things up and just throw things at you, whether they worked or not. It's just what he wanted, and that's what he did. But yeah, for me, I think it goes back to the Final Fantasy series and in Final Fantasy VII because of how much that game actually changed how I played and everything else, and you're stuck there with Aerith Gainsborough, and basically you're playing with her the whole time, and she, honestly, I think she was everybody's healer in the party, and then all of a sudden you've got Sephiroth just comes up behind. You get so attached to these characters. And Sephiroth just sneaking up behind her and just shoving that long-ass samurai sword right through her when you least expected it. It was one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, this is absolutely terrible and wonderful at the same time, because you clearly didn't expect it, and it made you hate him that much more. Given the circumstances, I think that's probably my most memorable and the most meaningful twist in a video game that I can recall. I mean, there have been a number of them. There's so many of them.
Well, the way Metroid ends is a great twist. The original Metroid.
Yeah, and it's just, for some reason, that one just will always probably stand out. And I think it is because of how much that game actually impacted how I play games. And really forced me to step out of my sports shell, as it was. Because I basically only played sports and fighting games to that point. And once I played Final Fantasy VII, I really, really branched out into more of the adventure games and stuff like that, RPGs and whatnot. But yeah, that was a completely shocking moment, and I love it to this day. But with that, I guess we should probably get into the podcast. Welcome to the One Up Club. My name is Brian, and it is Thursday, March 23rd, 2017. On the show today, we've got a number of gaming news stories to talk about, but first, some contact information. If you'd like to contribute to the show, it's super simple. Just email us at theoneupclub@gmail.com and let us know what you're playing, what you're thinking, any questions you have for myself or Ryan or Mart or any number of guests that we might have on the show here, and we will be sure to discuss those. Also, you can tweet at me, at ToonsBrian. That's TOONSBRIAN. I'm on there quite a bit throughout the day, so I'll be sure to get that. And, of course, you can always follow our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/official1upclub. Whichever way you choose, your comments and reactions are always welcome here and appreciated. After all, you are part of the club, and after all of that contact information, it's important that you know that you can find that and a lot more at www.1upclub, or actually it's 1up.club, where you can get 24/7 access to the latest video game news, streaming links, occasional written word stuff, all of that just a few clicks away. That's 1-up.club. If you wish to subscribe to this podcast, we actually have a few options for you there as well. If you want to go to the site where you can find this and GameBlock.com's Block Party and the Johnny Good Times Fun Factory podcasts, or if you want to go and get a bunch of other different great shows on the Trending Topics Network, just go over to 1up.club and underneath the broadcast tab, you will find links where you can subscribe to those podcasts so you can listen whenever you want. In the meantime, on board, you heard in the little introduction conversation we had there, he is the creator of the aforementioned podcasts and GameBlock.com. He is Ryan Hamner. What's going on, my friend?
Good, man. I'm proud to say that GameBlock has actually had a fresh article posted here. For the first time in probably 2 months, I posted my review for Horizon Zero Dawn, which I have now finished. Not to completion, of course. I'm still working through the side quest, but that article is up on the front page if you want to go check that out. Get my non-spoilery thoughts on the game. I liked it. Yeah. A lot. I liked it a lot.
Well, ahead of schedule, too. You got that review up.
Yeah. Yeah, 45 hours in, and I've completed, I think, right under 70% of the game, so it's a long one. Yeah, but the story's complete. I felt that that was enough to give an honest assessment of the game, and it's up there.
I really can't stop playing the game. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, we went over this on the review podcast that we did, where we each had about 10 hours in, and I just can't stop playing it. I love it so much. Which I'm looking at it on Metacritic, it's actually up to 87% now, I think. I think whenever it first came out, it was at 85.
Yeah.
It's up at 87% right now. Metacritic is what Metacritic is, and all I know, personal experience, I'm just loving the game. I'm not finished with the story yet because I have an addiction, and it's to side missions.
Yeah, and right now I'm horribly jealous of you because you still have to experience that all for the first time. And, you know, I've been there, I've done it. I can never go back and get it for the first time, and you still can, so I'm kind of jealous. Actually, I'm really jealous.
Yeah, I am.
It's good.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it because the thing is I texted you the other day, and I'm like, man, I'm like, I don't know what Zero Dawn is yet. And I'm like, I kind of have an idea, and I kind of don't, and my thing about what it is completely just changing and morphing along with the story, and they just did such a good job as an overall game. It's probably one of the better gaming experiences I've had over the last decade, easily.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. But also, we're going to go over a number of stories here today, and also at the end we're going to talk about some of the games that are coming out over the next week, and some that came out this week.
Did any games come out this week? Because there hasn't been any buzz about it.
Yeah, there's not been a whole lot.
Was there a big AAA release on Tuesday? Because, you know, I don't see anybody talking about it.
No, which is odd. And yeah. I think the last time we saw that, we saw whenever Final Fantasy XV came out, people, like, raved about it for a couple of days. This didn't even get that treatment.
Yeah, I would say I didn't see a single person on my timeline mention Mass Effect Andromeda. And I know for a fact I have a couple of huge Mass Effect fans that I follow. Nobody's talking about this game, man.
Yeah, which I actually have a joke, and I'll have to be reminded of it once we get to that portion of the show. But, yeah, it's been kind of weak so far. But With all that out of the way, Al, also, I did want to bring up the Colin Moriarty thing. You're going to be doing a video cast here at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and record that tonight.
Yeah, I figured we better tease that now so I don't forget about it later. Because surely I would, because I didn't actually write it in my notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping to be able to join you for that, because it is kind of an interesting story, if you don't know, kind of funny. Colin Moriarty has left Kind of Funny and is moving on to do his own thing, and we're going to have a couple people get, Ryan's going to have a couple people get together and discuss that. I'm kind of looking forward to that, because it's an interesting story, at least the timeline of everything.
Yeah, it provides us an opportunity to discuss an angle of the industry that we rarely get to touch, and that's on the coverage, the way video games themselves are covered by, I don't know if we can consider these guys to be our peers yet, but just the journalism industry in general, which is kind of a fickle beast when you step back and take a look at it. So I'm kind of excited to explore that angle, kind of step away from the X's and O's, if you will, of video games, and kind of see how they're marketed and promoted and kind of maybe deconstruct a little bit of that. I'm very excited to do that cast.
I'm looking forward to it. So be sure to keep an eye on GameBlock.com. That's game-up.com. Why can't I talk today?
It's early.
It's early, sort of. It's a little later for me than it is you.
That's right.
But either way, game-block.com. Be sure to check that out. Hopefully we'll see that in the very near future. In the meantime, we're going to get into the news here. Ryan, Ubisoft is actually working on a new TV series, in case you haven't heard. According to IGN.com, Assassin's Creed may have been certified rotten on the big screen, and they're getting a 17% at RottenTomatoes.com.
Ugh.
Pretty wretched. But that's not deterred Ubisoft from extending beyond the video game realm with their properties. According to IGN.com, Assassin's Creed's head of content, Imar Azizia, however you pronounce his name, it's a fun one, Azizia, revealed on Reddit that a TV adaptation of the franchise is currently in the works. Quote, "It's like the movie, guys. We will take our time to get sure we deliver something we can be proud of," he said. 17%.
Yeah, he's really proud of that, isn't he? Well, and
maybe he
this
didn't
is
see the movie.
This is what trips me up the most about the movie, Brian, is the fact that, I mean, usually when a video game movie gets made, we just kind of at this point are conditioned to assume it's going to suck, because they always do, but this one had Michael Fassbender in it, arguably the biggest AAA male movie star in existence right now. I mean, he gets whatever role he wants, and he usually kills in this role. He's great as Magneto. He was good. He was one of the bright spots of that horrible Prometheus. The guy is a fantastic actor and should be a sure thing at this point. 17%. I mean, they couldn't make a Michael Fassbender movie succeed. That's how bad the concept was.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily a concept. It's just if you don't bring in the right people, who actually know it? Because the thing is, writing a script for a video game is vastly different than writing a script for a movie.
Yeah.
If you're not going to bring people who know how to do the latter, you're just going to end up with the garbage that you ended up with the Assassin's Creed movie. I mean, 17%, that's... It takes a lot to get that low on Rotten Tomatoes. Typically, if it's a bad movie, you're looking at the 40% range, and you're talking about going to 17. Half of Adam Sandler's movies score way higher than that.
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of ridiculous.
Granted, I didn't bother to see the movie because, you know, you take one look at the reviews, and granted, I don't want anybody to think I put all my eggs in the stock of what a critic has to say, because critics are wrong. A lot of critics are wrong about Iron Fist. Iron Fist has, like, a ridiculously low Rotten Tomato rating right now, and that's a great show. It's not as good as the other ones, but it's still very good. So, I mean, don't take critics' word as gospel. But in this case, I mean, you just take a look at the previews and, you know, past experience. I've gotten burned by video game movies all too often. I took a pass on this one, and, you know, I'm not a hardcore AC fan or anything, but, you know, they just don't stop making these movies. Don't make an Uncharted movie. I don't want a Metal Gear Solid movie. Just don't. Don't ruin it for me. Play the games, people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, I was actually really hyped up for the Assassin's Creed movie because, yeah, like you said, Michael Fassbender was in it, and I really liked the games, and it's this whole fascinating world that really could see, like, something pop up out of it. Now, I guess a TV series, it could do well, it could not do well, because one of my guilty pleasures, because I like Mortal Kombat, was Mortal Kombat Conquest on TV. It was back in, like, what was it, Spike TV back then, or TNN, or somebody.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but I actually loved that show, and part of the reason was because they made reference to Mortal Kombat itself, but they kind of went on a different story that you hadn't seen. And I think that if Ubisoft is serious about making something like this work, and they are going with Assassin's Creed, that they need to kind of move away from Ezio and all the other characters from the Assassin's Creed franchise and just kind of spin off and do something different. Maybe touch on those people a different, try a different time period.
Yeah.
Different clans. They have access to basically whatever they want. So they should take advantage of that.
Or maybe ditch the whole, like, present time thing altogether.
Oh, God.
You know, and just set it. Don't mess around with the anima stuff at all. I mean, just set it in the past. That might have worked a little bit because I love history. I love revisiting periods of history, and just let me stay there the entire time. I don't need, like, a contemporary Desmond Miles story all over again, you know. I've played it a couple of times in the video games. Just give me the period piece, you know. Set me in medieval times. Set me in, like, 1800s Russia or something, you know. Give me something unique and just let me stay there. I don't need this, like, future drama. It wasn't that interesting in the game. That was the worst part about the games. I don't want to see it play out on screen.
Honestly, and one of the things, too, I mean, from a financial standpoint, it would be a hell of a lot easier to do a period piece because you're not going to have to deal with all those special effects and craziness that you would have to with a futuristic take on it, where you're going to have to not only deal with the period pieces, but then you're going to have to add in all the futuristic stuff, too. It just works in their benefit if they just kind of approach it in the right way. Now, do they have the ability to do that? That's a completely different story, and I honestly don't know. No specific details have been shared with media outlets, but in 2016, Yves Guillemot, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, because he's French. But the CEO of Ubisoft actually indicated that talks with Netflix were in progress, so we might see it there. Other Ubisoft products rumored to be considered for similar ventures are actually Splinter Cell and The Division, which I would be totally be all about something set either Splinter Cell or The Division.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell would be kind of difficult. The Division might be a little bit easier in that fashion. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is, they have a lot of great properties that they could do a lot with, but I just don't have the confidence in them hiring the right people in the right roles to do the right job.
Well, and as far as Assassin's Creed, you know, people will remember a couple of years ago, Assassin's Creed was an annual franchise. We got one every single fall. And I think a lot of people, myself I know did, got just burned out on it. You know, every fall you'd get a new Assassin's Creed game, and it just started to wear me down. It stopped feeling special. It's very similar to outdoor hockey games. You know, for a while that was a special deal, but now that we get seven of them every year, it's no longer a special experience for me. And I want Assassin's Creed to just kind of step back. And I'm not talking just the games. They've already done that. I don't want to see movies. I don't want to see comic books. I don't want to see TV shows. I want to miss that franchise a little bit. I want the developer to give me the opportunity to want that franchise to come back, and they just refuse to allow me to let myself take a breath. You know, they're just, every year it's got to be, hey, you know, we stopped doing the games, but here's a graphic novel, here's a TV show, here's a web series, here's a, you know, blah, blah, here's an Assassin's Creed lunch pail. It's like, nah, I can't take it anymore. Just let me miss it a little bit.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of oversaturation with every franchise that seems to make money, no matter who the developer is.
Yeah.
AC just happens to be one of the most glaringly obvious.
definitely one of the biggest offenders of it.
Yeah, but we're going to move on to the next story, and that is the Nintendo Switch was recently released, and already they've had to fix some issues.
No.
After denying that there were any problems whatsoever, Eurogamer.net is reporting that Nintendo has addressed a manufacturing issue with their newly released Switch console. The defect, which led to connectivity issues with the left side Joy-Con controller, said that was said to be the result of a factory-level manufacturing variation in a statement to CNET.com. Nintendo claimed that the variation affected a very small number of the controllers and thus, quote, no widespread proactive repair or replacement effort is underway, end quote. Not surprising, coming from Nintendo. However, if your system is affected by this defect, Nintendo encourages you to contact them, and if they determine that your controller is one of the faulty ones, they'll fix it, saying again, quote, consumers can send their controller directly to Nintendo for the adjustment free of charge with an anticipated quick return of less than 1 week, end quote. And that fix, I guess, is just a foam rubber sticker that they got to put on the inside of the controller itself. But basically, the controller being wireless, like all controllers seem to be nowadays, the defect was actually interfering with the ability of the controller to connect with the Switch system. This is actually something that you kind of expect, just to have little bugs in there.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
It comes with buy-in launch software. You know, the PS3 at launch was flaky. PlayStation 4 was relatively light. Xbox One the same. You gotta expect there's gonna be some issues. I had my first DualShock fell apart in like 6 months. It happens. I mean, I don't think that this is necessarily that big of a deal, but, you know, I still think this console's a joke.
Yeah. I think that the biggest deal for me is the fact that they basically came out a few days before admitting that there was a problem and just denied everything. They're like, no, that couldn't possibly happen.
Yeah.
It's like it's the brand new system. A brand new manufacturing process had to take place. Of course you're going to have defects. That's why you don't buy a first-year model car, if any car. No matter what the brand is, no matter who the manufacturer is, it doesn't matter. You just don't buy the first year that the car is released.
Yeah, if you're willing to buy something at launch, and I'm guilty of this as well, I bought my PSVR at launch, I bought my PlayStation 4 at launch, you are basically a guinea pig for the manufacturer. You know, you are going to, you're doing real-world QT for them. And, you know, if you're willing to throw over your dollar, and like I said, I have been multiple times, you just have to accept that fact. It's not, the bugs aren't worked out, the kinks are still there. They're just waiting to be discovered, and, you know, I've paid the price for that in the past, and, you know, it's no different with the Switch, but, you know, have fun playing those two games.
Yep. And basically, I was looking at it. Have you actually seen any Switches out and about?
No.
Like, actually on the shelves?
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen none, and allegedly they're going to be shipping another umpteen units out. But I've literally seen none at any of the stores that I've gone to, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's very Nintendo, once again, that there would be product shortages for a new system. I still haven't seen an NES Classic on a shelf.
Yeah.
Which is just bizarre, because that thing came out in November or October.
I've got a buddy that is desperately trying to find one. I was lucky enough, you actually tipped me off to this, Brian, that Amazon had a deal for Prime members only, and the window closed in like 6 hours. If you didn't get one in that time, you were out of luck, and now they're sold out once again. And I told him, like, I'll keep an eye out for you, but if I see one, I'll pick one up. But, you know, people want this console. I think a lot more people want the Classic than the Switch, but I don't understand why they're doing that. You know, I know my local Best Buy told me, hey, we're going to get more classics in next week, and that was a month ago, and they never did get anything. So I don't know what the market.
It's just
I don't know if the Switch is following the same philosophy, but if they are, it's a bad one. You know, get a different, you know, marketing system, because this one is stupid.
Yeah, and the thing is, I haven't heard anything bad about the system from anybody that actually did get one, so it kind of leads me to believe that it is a decent system. But again, it comes down to, if you've got this huge scarcity of the system, and you're not 100% sure if you're going to actually have all kinds of third-party support that you would like to see it get, it becomes a matter of, not only can I physically actually not be able to obtain one, but do I actually want to physically obtain one? And at this point, the jury's still out, I think, because no matter how good the system is, if you can't find it and you're not going to be able to find games, then is it really worth it? And I think for a lot of people, you're going to find that it's just not.
And, I mean, it continues to be the same drum that we always beat here. Give me some games. As of right now, there's two games, and one of them suck. I mean, everybody loves Zelda, but everybody hates 1-2 Switch. That's your two options at launch. That's what you can, if you buy this $300 system, those are the two games you can play right now. What are you doing? I mean, you can't, like, even I don't even think, like, the old classic games are available yet, are they? Wasn't there some kind of delay with that?
Yeah.
You can't even buy this thing and take Metroid on the go, or Super Mario World. There's no Mario. How is there not a Mario game at launch for this? Not even Mario Kart. Like, even if it's, like, a stripped-down version of Mario Kart where you have, like, three characters, have something ready at launch besides 1-2 Switch and Legend of Zelda. I don't get it, man. I do not get it.
Yeah, it's almost like a soft opening of a restaurant where they only have three things on the menu. It just doesn't make sense. And you've got this huge rush of people going out there and dropping $300 on this console. There's not a game out there that I would be interested in playing for $300.
No.
I mean, outside of having, like, one of those old mech machines that you could find in, like, some high-end arcades back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That would be about it, that I would be willing to pay that much to have it in my house.
I mean, Zelda's getting lots of tens. I have no doubt believing that Zelda is an awesome game, but $300 to play it? Nah, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not.
No. And I think we're just normal people with that opinion. Other normal people like to gamble, and Ryan, Psyonix does not approve of your gambling habits. Rocket League developer Psyonix spoke out this week against gambling platform Unicorn for adding the popular title to their list of games in which you can bet on the results. That's real, actual money. In an indirect back-and-forth, Psyonix VP Jeremy Dunham told GameSpot.com that the developer simply does not approve of the use of Rocket League for the purpose of betting, and distanced the two companies. Unicorn CEO Rahul Sood reaffirmed that the two are not affiliated, but added, quote, "However, we love the game, and like other titles on our sports book, we create odds and content on the pro matches and their top-tier tournaments," unquote. This seems like kind of a natural progression as esports kind of becomes more and more popular. And do you think that Psyonix even had a need to step out and say, hey, we're not affiliated with these people? Or do you think that was just what we're going to see a lot more of in the future?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a trend, you know, in this, you know, lawsuit-driven society that we live in. Big corporations like Psyonix are going to have to protect their asses with statements like this. And yeah, like you said, Brian, this is inevitable with the eSport trend. This is just the beginning. You know, we're going to see this kind of, the whole eSports thing is going to morph into something that's not going to be recognizable to what it is in 2017 in like 5 years. It's just going to be a completely different beast. As it gains popularity, you know, that goes hand in hand with becoming more popular.
Yeah. And you look, just a few short years ago, we had basically Heroes of the Storm and Dota 2, and that was it. And now all of a sudden it seems like every game, every franchise has esports centered around it in some way, shape, or form, thanks to the multiplayer connectivity that you get across even now platforms, it is a growing thing. And I think that we're ending up in this thing to where you're going to end up seeing eventually somebody's going to actually design a game very specifically to take advantage of this type of format, where maybe the developers themselves, who are willing to walk that gray area, actually have built-in betting systems as it is. And I think that's kind of a scary thought. But also, I mean, when you're dealing with all these, I think it adds a layer of even more so the when it comes to reviews and things like that, because you got these betting groups like Unicorn that want to add as many games as possible to their books. And so are they going to be out there feeding on the basically the YouTube reviews and things like that, to where we were worried about journalism before you had brought it up. Now we're going to actually have to worry about a bunch of these independent people, whether they're on not so much the payrolls of the developers themselves, but sports books.
Well, didn't we do a story last year, Brian? It was last summer, about some guy that was, like, pretending to win armor on a site.
Yes.
That he secretly owned. I mean, we're circling around back to something like that. This is a trend. This is not a mirage. This is going to continue to slowly swirl down the drain, and I really think this could all lead to a messy end, but there's no denying that everything from video game coverage to the way these sites are operated are going to change. I mean, it's going to be, we're living in strange times, man.
Yeah, we really are, and it almost feels like, in a way, almost like betting on professional wrestling.
Oh, I think, yeah, that's a great analogy.
it just doesn't, and I mean, you can do it as long as you don't have any attachment to the people involved, I guess. But it just, it's kind of stinks. It just kind of stinks, because it almost feels like there's some sort of a container, like a contaminant being added to the thing that you really like, because
yeah.
When you hear people talk about esports all the time, and, well, is it actually a sport? Or they've had issues over the past, like with the major bodies of esports, talking about things like drug testing and stuff like that. And it's like, now you've got the betting involved. No matter where the money goes, you're going to end up with a nasty underground kind of, you know, the seedier side of everything. And I think this is just kind of showing it. I don't think this story itself is evidence of that, but I think that it's good that Psyonix did come out and say, hey, we don't approve of this. And if there was a game that you were going to see betting on, I guess Rocket League would be up there, given the number of players that actually do take part in it, and,
yeah,
and an entire esports section that is Rocket League.
Yeah, I would almost anticipate, Brian, like in 2-3 years, there will be a disclaimer on the back of every package that we buy, if we're still buying physical media, that is, mm-hmm, where it says EA Sports does not endorse betting on Madden 2022. Naughty Dog does not endorse betting on online Uncharted 6. You know, we're going to see stuff like that. It's going to be like the old parental advisory explicit lyric stickers. There will be a disclaimer.
Yeah. And with our kids being part of the YouTube generation and the online watching video games and all that other fun stuff, I kind of worry about the aspect of kids. Because you and I, Ryan, we can make smart enough decisions with our money and pretty much pick out exactly when.
My wife would debate with you on that, but I see your point.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, these kids are watching that. I'm sure they're broadcasting a bunch of stuff. You even look like the Dota 2 Championships. They have, like, broadcast crews. Eventually, that's what we're going to see, too. And it's,
yeah,
it's kind of a scary thing that you really have to keep your eye on your kids. As always, I mean, it used to just be for the content of the video games themselves, but now you get all these kind of offshoots and tangential product and stuff like that that's coming out. It just makes it a little bit difficult on us parents that maybe are in our 40s or pushing 40. But yeah, it's kind of scary and kind of predictable at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, Bungie. Moving on to the next story. Bungie is actually pumping up its Destiny fan base for its final hurrah. Since its release, Destiny has been a very popular draw among gamers. Bungie's latest upcoming expansion for the game, Age of Triumph, is enjoying the benefits of a nice slow build over three live streams on Twitch. Believed to be the final installment for the original game, Age of Triumph will include four raids, each with new armor sets. The latest video actually did its best to show off all of these sets, as well as raid ornaments and special weapons crates. There will also be a number of current legendary weapons, which will be introduced as exotic weapons, and a lot of balancing fixes and things like that. Destiny had kind of a rough beginning, and I think over the past 3 years, they've really steered that ship in the right direction. Any thoughts on Destiny? Because it has had a very big impact on the gaming world, I believe.
Yeah, I never played it, full disclosure. It's not something that really interested me because of the online component. Everybody knows that I'm more of a single-player guy, so I never bothered with Destiny, but I know people love it, and I think the launch of Destiny and all the problems that went along with it goes to a long way to really highlight like the high expectations fans of developers place on their product. You know, everybody saw Bungie and the track record with the Halo series and thought, like, this is just going to be awesome. You know, there's no way they can screw this up. And they failed to realize that this was an entirely different product. And, you know, there were some hiccups along the way. And, yeah, I don't think they handled things very well at launch. And, you know, it's just not something. And that didn't, like, taint the product for me at all. I was probably never going to play it just from the concept of it. But, I mean, you know, people seem to come around with it, and I'm sure this launch will hopefully go smoother for them.
Yeah. And I think that if you graded Destiny using, actually, your convenient grading scale, you would have to literally grade them on a continuing timeline.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, I mean, you're talking about when Destiny first came out, they had so many problems, and everything was so repetitive, and their game caps and level caps and things like that, and people who loved it really did love it. But it was really kind of a lackluster beginning for that franchise. And then with each new expansion, they sort of improved it. The Taken King actually got a lot of rave reviews, and basically that solidified it as a top-tier game.
Yeah.
I think if you end up looking in the future, because I played it, I played it very little, because it's just not my type of game. But if you look at it in a historical perspective, say 8 years from now, you'll look back and you'll say, like, Overwatch was just fantastic and it's amazing. But I think that without Destiny, Blizzard, for all the credit they get for being innovators in the gaming world, I don't think that if Destiny doesn't come out and tried what they tried, that we see Overwatch. I think that's a big influence in that game, given the different worlds. Now, Destiny and Overwatch, clearly two very different games, in that Destiny has sort of a storyline and an entire world that you move around in and things like that. But the entire all-online component of it, I think that it's spawn that, I believe. And I think that that's what we need in the video game industry. We've always had that in the video game industry, where somebody goes out with the guts to try something new and kind of lays the groundwork for something completely different, for a whole new genre or a whole new style of design or new game engines or whatever it is. And I think, honestly, Destiny, for all of its early failings, really laid the groundwork for some of the gaming features that we actually see today.
Yeah, they definitely built the template, and games like Overwatch have followed it. And, you know, it kind of fills me with regret, because I'm always left wondering what would have happened with Star Wars The Old Republic, the massive multiplayer online, which I think we can both agree is a failure at this point. It did not even come close to meeting what their expectations. Now, Brian, I'm going to ask you, what would have happened if Old Republic would have came out after Destiny and kind of followed, used that template? Do you think it would have found success?
It's actually hard to tell. And the thing is, I don't know that it would have, given what it was. I think that they could have easily made some adjustments to it and made it work. Because that's the thing. I mean, given the different, they could have taken a completely different direction with it, is the thing. And I still want to see so many different Star Wars games, so it's kind of a complete branch off.
I was pretty crushed when the Old Republic failed, and I really wish, I'm always going to wonder what would have happened if that would have been available on the consoles. You know, what kind of difference that would have made, if that would have opened up the doors, because, I mean, from a financial standpoint, Destiny has been a wild success, and Overwatch has been a wild success. So these type of games do work. People do want to play these games. But, you know, a lot of mistakes were made on the Old Republic.
Yeah, there really were. And I think that just kind of, they tried to just skin something.
Yeah.
In such a way just to kind of make a quick buck. Because they know that Star Wars fans are adamantly Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
And will drop money on it. And I think that's one of the things that they just made a huge mistake of doing, because in reality, you can say, oh, well, Star Wars fans just want to do it. But at the same time, we're not out there buying into everything because we're also smart about what we buy. At least I think. But, yeah, I mean, it could have been a completely different direction, and I would have liked to have seen the Old Republic succeed. But they just didn't do it right. So who knows? Maybe we'll see something in the future. EA's got the rights to that now. Maybe they'll convince somebody at BioWare to actually bring back Knights of the Old Republic in some fashion.
When was the last time BioWare, like, did something relevant?
Yeah, it's
was it when I first got back into video games in 2007, I think it was, BioWare was, like, on top of the mountain. And, you know, obviously they had they're having a rough week. And, you know, the game Andromeda, we're kind of beating that up a little bit here. And that is at a 75 on Metacritic. It's safely in the, you know, positive territory, but obviously didn't live up to the hype. BioWare, just kind of, what are they doing these days?
I honestly don't know. I did read an interview with their creators in Game Informer magazine a month or two back. And they talked about how really that company kind of has morphed and changed and continued to try to push themselves to do new things and things like that. But, I mean, really, they were on top of the game, and sometimes just changing just kind of changes where you're at. And I think that's what we're seeing with BioWare, because, I mean, really, how much did they actually have to do with Mass Effect Andromeda?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I'm not even sure either. But either way, I mean, they were on top of the game, and now they're kind of just one of the subsidiaries of EA, and just there in the background, I guess. But either way, Facebook Live, which I'm not necessarily a fan of.
The notifications are very annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I have issues with Facebook Live, but they're mostly political, which is what this show is not. So, either way, they might be making a move on Twitch. On Wednesday, Facebook announced that gamers can now broadcast live from their PCs or laptops. I quote, "If you're a gamer, this new feature makes it easier than ever to stream your PC gameplay to friends and followers and engage with them while you play," the company stated. "If you're giving your friends or followers a tutorial or how-to guide, you can incorporate on-screen graphics, titles, and overlays. Or if you're an artist, you can go live and switch seamlessly between cameras as you narrate the process." This also sort of a natural kind of progression. You kind of saw this happening with Google and YouTube and them making things so much easier for gamers to stream their product. Following Twitch, wasn't Twitch like Justin.tv or something like that before?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But we've seen such a growth in this industry with the broadcasting of gaming and things like that it almost seemed like Facebook is really far behind, but this is the right move to make at the right time for them, given Facebook Live. Do you plan on trying to do this at all?
No, I mean, when I broadcast, I almost go through YouTube exclusively, just so I have consent. I know one of the big things that people preach is that you have to pick one or the other. You know, you either broadcast on YouTube or you go Twitch. I think PlayStation offers a third option, too, but I can't remember what it is.
Daily Motion.
Yeah, that, which I don't, what the hell is that? Do you know what that is?
Know.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. But this just adds another dimension and another option, and I think that just leads to more confusion for me, I guess. So I don't plan on using it. There's no YouTube. I mean, if there was a YouTube option for it, then yeah, maybe I'd click the button, send the link out that ways. But I think you can already do that via the YouTube app. You know, you can send the link to Twitter, and why not just post it to Facebook at the same time?
Yeah, it's just I want to be able to archive my stuff and access it easy. And if you're going to go out and try to do this on Facebook Live, you're really kind of limiting your audience, I think.
And you're going to annoy a lot of your audience.
Yeah.
People don't want a Ryan Hamner is playing Horizon Zero Dawn if they're logging into Facebook, you know, to check out, like, food pics. You know, they're just going to be like...
Yeah.
What the hell is this guy's problem? Does this guy do anything besides play video games? You're just going to piss everybody off, and then, you know, they're not going to come to GameBlock.com. So.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, without them actually coming out and creating an entire separate channel of Facebook to where it's basically accessible to absolutely everybody, I just don't see really what the point is and why I should even try to partake in it.
Yeah.
It makes... No, it makes all the sense in the world, and it makes none of the sense in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a result of the old Zuckmeister being the smartest guy in the room and also the most disconnected.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just kind of a non-starter, but we'll keep an eye on it. Who knows? Maybe they'll blow it up, and all of us will look silly.
Could be.
For kind of dumping on it right now.
Yeah.
But that's actually it for the news. I don't know if you saw anything in the news that kind of grabbed you, grabbed your interest.
All my attention has been focused on the Moriarty situation, so I've kind of been ignoring everything else video game related, because there really hasn't been a ton going on over the last week.
No, there really hasn't. I think there's been one hiccup with the latest PlayStation 4 update. Which, incidentally, if you haven't heard about that update, you're actually able to now use an external hard drive up to 8 terabytes.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, so that's pretty fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, there's really not been that much going on. I guess GDC is coming up, the Game Developers Conference is coming up here shortly. E3 will probably be upon us.
That's not that far away. That's not that far away at all right now.
Yeah, but what we can tell you about is the latest video game releases. This week's game releases, which we alluded to earlier, everything for the PC and PS4, which got a Metacritic score of 77. It's basically a kind of an Imaginarium kind of... I forget. They called it a conscious simulator. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos or anything like that. It's kind of weird looking, and I don't know. It's an indie kind of thing, I guess. Very awkward, but it's called Everything.
Okay.
I got a 77 via Metacritic.
Solid.
Yeah, that's decent. Mass Effect Andromeda for the PS4, the PC, and the Xbox One. We talked about this a little bit earlier. right now, they're sitting on a 74 for Metacritic. One of the things I saw yesterday is they talked about how EA has actually promised to have full support with updates and things like that, because I guess the game is kind of broken in a lot of ways, which isn't all that surprising, but you mentioned earlier you haven't seen it. Anything online about this game.
Yeah, it's...
Nobody's actually talking about it at all, which is so unusual.
The pulse for this game is very faint, And when you consider like how long this title has been in development and how well the previous three games were received, I mean, this should have been the game that made people forget about Horizon Zero Dawn, which came out a couple weeks ago. I have no desire to buy this game right now. I mean, I'll probably play it at some point, but I mean, nobody's talking about it, and that's a really bad sign.
Yeah, it was dealing with issues with animations. It was dealing with issues with just looking boring.
The facial animations. I mean, we've all seen the videos, and if you haven't checked it out, just go to YouTube and Google Mass Effect Andromeda facial animations, and you will see what we're talking about. Because the animations, I don't know. In my opinion, Brian, I think Mass Effect 3 looks better, and that was a game that came out, which Jesus, probably nearly a decade ago, would you say?
Yeah. And yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
I
think it was 2009.
That's not good when your game looks like that. And, I mean, we're living in an age now where I think as a gamer, or as gamers, we're not expecting to be blown away every single time that we play a game. I didn't think Resident Evil 7 looked particularly good, but it was able to meet the standard that we've become accustomed to in 2017. It looks good. It didn't look great. It didn't blow you away. There was never a moment where I was like, holy shit, this slime looks like real slime. You know, this zombie is just like, wow, look at this guy. But it met the standard I am accustomed to. It doesn't look to me like Andromeda can do that. And, I mean, this game has been in development for forever. How did they screw this up?
Yeah. I mean, they had a formula basically worked. As we've been talking back and forth, it didn't make any sense to start with a new Mass Effect, given the actual story from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
But if you're going to try it, at least do something with it. And I mean, you're just not getting that, any kind of actual positive feedback or any conversation at all. It literally has no buzz. It's a silent room. Just very bizarre. Also, there was something else on the tip of my tongue, and I just lost it. Oh, well. Either way, yeah, we'll see. Mass Effect, Andromeda. It's a AAA title with single A indie buzz.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes, it's a glaring example. You know, a lot of times we ask ourselves, like, how important is a beloved character to a franchise? You know, like, if you took Luke Skywalker out of Star Wars, or Han Solo, or Darth Vader, what kind of result would we have? And I think we're kind of getting the answer to that right here with Andromeda, now that we've removed the beloved character, Commander Shepard, out of there. Whether you played as a girl or a boy, everybody loved Commander Shepard. And he or she is gone now, and we're left with this, and I just don't think people are that into it.
Yeah. That's exactly the case, and I think that's a perfect analogy, because they literally just took the same thing. Like, Final Fantasy has always changed up characters, so it's not that big of a deal. This was a very in-place franchise. It stuck with the same person. I think another example that we're going to see, which may be a little bit less of an example, will be the new Uncharted, where they're moving on from Nathan Drake and moving to whatever her name is.
Chloe.
Yeah, but she's been around since the second one, so you're at least familiar with that.
Yeah.
Whereas the storyline just didn't seem to match up with creating a whole new offshoot of a story for Mass Effect, simply because the whole timeline of everything is a cyclical process where everything is destroyed and then started back up again. So it's like, I don't know, you have to have some sort of a way to justify the existence of this game, and I don't think anybody even cares enough to come up with that argument, because the game just apparently isn't that great.
Yeah, and again, I just want to reiterate that I haven't played the game, but you haven't played it either, have you? So, I mean, if you're listening to the show and you're a big Mass Effect fan and you love Andromeda, I'm happy for you. I mean, my opinion is based on just, like, a buzz thing entirely, that nobody is talking about it. If you love the game, that's totally fine. I'm not trying to beat up your game, but I'm just saying that there's just not a lot of people. If you love it, talk about it. I want to tweet at me, at Ry Hamner. I want to hear why you love the game. I want to generate, I'll help you generate some buzz. I'll retweet you. Let's get some buzz out for this game.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've played it, let me know, because I'm kind of interested in what your thoughts are. I know some people did pre-order it. But we'll see. Also coming out this past Tuesday was Troll and I for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One. So far, it's not been scored on Metacritic because there's only been two reviews done of it, which is kind of odd. The one review that I did see basically said that it looks like it was trying to do exactly what Horizon Zero Dawn did, except they did it as an indie, and it wasn't all that impressive.
Uh-oh.
So, unscored, but not good at all, because I think I saw a 65 and a 40 two scores, something like that. Well, either way, today coming out is actually Battle for Orion 2 on the PC, Bye Bye Box Boy on the 3DS, The End of an Age, Fading Remnants on the PC, and Rock Band VR for your Oculus Rift, all of you 14 people that own one. And then, as I lost my place, tomorrow, Friday, March 24th, Dreamfall Chapters, The Longest Journey for the PS4 and Xbox One. Dreamfall is actually one of my favorite games on the original Xbox. I loved it. It was actually, I believe, The Longest Journey back then, but they're actually breaking it into an episodic game. I might check it out. I'm not sure yet, but I did like Dreamfall. And also Mario Sports Superstars for the 3DS.
But not for, not for the Switch. You know, there you go.
Yeah, nothing for the Switch.
That's 3DS. Got a new 3DS game, but, you know, not still no Mario game for the Nintendo Switch, you know.
And next Tuesday, though, there is a game for the Switch coming out. March 28th, you've got Has-Been Heroes for the PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. So they're going to have a third game. Has-Been Heroes. Also, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix for the PS4. MLB Show, or MLB's The Show 17 for PS4, and Rain World for the PC and PS4.
I'm almost tempted to pick up The Show. You know, I'm not a baseball guy whatsoever, but that retro mode thing looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know, have you
seen the commercial for the retro mode?
Yeah, I've seen them. I like the commercial.
Yeah, like where it's like set up so like the gameplay and stuff like that almost looks like RBI baseball or like bases loaded. You know, it's got that kind of manual sliding back and forth. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. They actually did that in Roger Clemens' baseball in the Sega Genesis back in the day.
That's a great concept.
Yeah.
Although, this is my issue, though, and I was telling a buddy who's a big baseball friend about this. What they should have done, like, when I heard retro mode, I thought it was going to be, like, the presentation. Like, the broadcast was going to have, like, 90s graphics or 80s graphics and stuff like that. So I was a little bit disappointed that that wasn't the case, that it was a gameplay thing. I think it would have been really cool to, you know, oh, hey, I want to switch to 70s mode, you know, so everything looks like it was in the 70s. That's what I wanted. It was so close.
Yeah. That would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
And they should actually add that as some sort of a kind of a DLC type thing.
That'd be great.
It would be.
I'd buy it if they did that.
Be a skin. But who knows? I mean, I actually haven't played a new baseball game in, oh God, probably close to a decade.
The last one
it's
I...
It's been a long time since I played a baseball game.
The last one I bought had Joe Mauer on the cover. I think it was I don't remember what year that was, but I had just been to Target Field when it was brand new, the Twins ballpark. And I was, like, so excited to, like, see outdoor baseball that I came home and I'm like, I gotta experience that on TV. So I went and bought the game and I played it, like, three times. So that wasn't a good investment.
Yeah, literally the last one that I actually played, the most recent one, I guess. I can't say the last one because I played RBI baseball and World Series Baseball 95 recently. But the most recent game that I've actually played was, I think, The Bigs, which is so arcadey. Would you even consider it a baseball game?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's more of an arcade-type game than anything.
But I mean, at this point, are either of us that into sports games?
Yeah, I am, and I'm not. Because I get bored with them quickly.
Yeah, that's my thing, you know. I've got, like, a nice... I'm, like, 15 years into my Madden 2017 franchise. I'm just bored with it, man. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. And, you know, I mean, if I'm going to play a sports game, I'm probably going to play NASCAR Racing 2003 season, a game that is now, do some math for me here, 14 years old. I mean, that's the sports game that I prefer.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe I'll go out and get a copy of Major League Baseball that has Andrew McCutchen on coverage, solely because it has McCutchen on the cover. And it's been so long since I played one. So I should be able to get it fairly cheap.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for the news for this week and this show. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
Twitter, Rye Hamner is the handle. That's the best way to get a hold of me. I am always up. I'm not on Twitter as much as I used to be, but I am always up to talk any kind of video games. If you want to reminisce about the lost opportunity with the Old Republic, I could talk about that for hours and hours. If you want to talk about NASCAR Racing 2003 season, hit me up. I'm always up for that stuff. And, of course, the website is gameblock.com. Don't forget the hyphen between game and block. Check that out. I am dedicated to getting fresh material up, so bear with me as I make the transition.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Be sure to do that. I can't wait to hear the Colin Moriarty commentary, or even be a part of it if I'm available. But you can find me on Twitter as well at ToonsBrian, TOONSBRIAN. Also, email the show at the1upclub@gmail.com. That's the1upclub@gmail.com. All the contact information that you could possibly need is at our website, which is 1-up.club. Don't put .com, .club, because this is the1upclub. So be sure to check that out and get a hold of us. Let us know what you think. Give us some responses. Tell us what your favorite surprise moment was in video game history. We are totally interested in hearing all of that information. For all that and more, go to 1up.club. Go to gameblock.com. Do all that. But that's going to do it for this week's show. So on behalf of Ryan and myself, I am Brian, and thank you very much for listening to the show, and we will see you next week.